Lemuel contained this message, which his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol. For if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. Alcohol is for the dying and wine for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed.
Stephanie, I am sorry, I gave you the wrong passage. And now my wife tells me I need to preach on that. I'm not sure how to proceed. Those were important words that we heard. And there it was. Lots of this is about hearing scripture. We just heard scripture. So thank you, Stephanie. Now, this summer, we have picked up some questions, more questions than like last year that we want me and Carrie to preach on. And so the question I had for today was, how do we hear God speak? And last week, 2 weeks ago, actually, I told the story about Andrew Clavin, who wrote a book with the subtitle, A Secular Jew Comes to Faith in Christ. And if you remember, at the key moment in the story, at the end there, he's driving in the hills above Santa Barbara, California, and he says to God in prayer, I have so much to be thankful for. What can I offer you in return? And then he heard in reply the voice of God aloud, speaking into his ear, now you should be baptized. And so from there, Andrew went on, and he was baptized. What an incredible surprise it must have been for Andrew Clavin to hear that voice out of the blue, and it's a pretty neat story. Now, here's another story about a Christian, the British author Dorothy Sayers. She was born in 1893 into a home where the father was a chaplain at a college in Oxford. Very early on, she had a real gift for languages and went on to become one of the most famous and most loved British authors in her time. She was most famous for detective fiction, in which crimes were solved by a very proper but very likable Lord Peter Wimsey, a gentleman. And all her Wimsey novels have been dramatized on TV by BBC, and you can order them from the library. They're fun. Sayers also wrote very good theology. And in her book, In the Mind, The Mind of the Maker, she gives the best explanation I know for how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work together in the Trinity, and does a really good job of showing how when Christians get focused on one member of the Trinity to the exclusion of the others, how this distorts their faith. I highly recommend the book, though it is hard to find. Sayers lived at a time when England was rapidly secularizing and many of the parish churches were dying out and losing hope. She then wrote another book called Letters to a Diminished Church, in which she gives encouragement and challenge to Christians who are seeking to remain faithful in discouraging times. Another great book. I then have on my desk an interesting kind of coffee table kind of book called 75 Masterpieces That Every Christian Should Know, in which the author finds 75 works of art by Christians from the beginning till now and tells what they are about. I accidentally ordered two copies, and if any of you would like my other copy, I'd be happy to give it to you. Number 53 in that book is Dorothy Sayers' radio broadcast, The Man Born to be King, which was broadcast on BBC at the height of World War II in 1943. And in it, she gives a theatrical performance or drama of the stories of Jesus. But what makes them wonderful is that the characters who are in the story, they still have the names of Peter, Mary, and Bartholomew, but they act and think like ordinary 20th century men and women. So it's online and you can listen to it, and it's really, it does a good job of allowing someone like me or you to get into the story and what it would be like to meet Jesus in these gospel stories, hear him for the first time, wrestle with what he meant, and so on. So I tell all this because Dorothy Sayers gave a lot of great gifts to the church, and then I was intrigued when I came across a personal letter that she wrote to her friend C.S. Lewis, in which she says this about her faith: "All spiritual experience is a closed book to me. In that respect, I have been tone deaf from birth. All the apparatus I have by which to apprehend anything at all is intellect and imagination. If or when from time to time God is pleased to make any truth clear to me by that means, I can announce it to the best of my ability, in which I have to call, for lack of a better name, a work of the creative imagination. These are intellect and imagination are the only instruments I have by which to perceive anything." So this is a very different kind of faith. We can recognize that she is a great Christian and a real servant to the church. And yet she says that when she looks inside, she cannot find that spiritual experience, but rather that when she puts pen to hand and begins to write on a piece of paper, then the things that come out of her, she recognizes that this is the apparatus by which she experiences God. All this to say that here is a very different way of experiencing God, and yet it is legitimate. Because of time, I have to leave the case of Mother Teresa, which I wanted to show you as another different way of somebody who heard God speak to her. Just making decisions on the fly. I'm going to tell you, because you know Mother Teresa. She grew up in the country of Armenia, and as a girl and a young woman, her heart was aflame for God, and she experienced his love as one continuous rapture. She then went on to work selflessly in the slums of Calcutta, where the practice was when someone was known to be dying, they set them out on the street. And Mother Teresa came to Calcutta and found these people and gathered them together and brought them to her home for the dying in the heart of Calcutta. If ever you have the opportunity to go and visit the MCC office in Calcutta, it happens to be just 2 or 3 blocks from this home, and it's an easy walk over there to see the tomb of where Mother Teresa was buried. Of course, she's revered in that city. She died in about 1996, and in 2006, her letters were revealed that she had written to her own spiritual director. And in those letters, she gave a great surprise, such that I came across this actually in the Time magazine, in which she said that in the last 50 years, she never again had had that experience of God that she had as a child. And she writes, "There is nothing but emptiness and darkness." So was Mother Teresa then a Christian, or maybe a bad Christian? Well, that's hard to believe. Fortunately, she had a very wise spiritual director who said to her and to all of us these 4 things. First, there is no human remedy for the darkness, so the Christian should not feel responsible for it. And that's important, that God speaks to us when he does. It is his gift to us. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. It isn't about earning it or having it owed to us. Second, he said, feeling the presence of Jesus is not the only or even the primary evidence of his presence. Jesus himself said, "By your fruits you shall know his presence." Third, the very craving for God was a sure sign that he is present, though in a hidden way, in the Christian's life. And fourth, the pain can be redemptive. Jesus himself had to experience the agony of the absence of God. "My God, Why have you forsaken me? As his suffering was redemptive for us, so the Christian can suffer redemptively by holding on to God in the midst of the darkness. I don't tell you this to discourage you, but just to say that different Christians have God speak to them in different ways. Sometimes, like Andrew Clavin, it is that voice that just comes out of the blue. And sometimes, like Dorothy Sayers, it is works of creative imagination in which she writes things and through this perceives what God is saying. And sometimes it is through a wise spiritual director like Mother Teresa was fortunate to have. After I had collected these three stories, Clavin and Sayers and Mother Teresa, I noted that it was the man who heard God speak and the two women who had trouble hearing God inside, which is almost the reverse of what we expect. God speaking to us out loud is very much in the category of gift, which God decides upon as and when the circumstances require. It is not in the category of reward, which we earn by being unusually impressive in our spirituality, that we have to have God speak to us. But there is a third category, and that is of promise, in which God has said that whenever you need to hear from me, you can do so. You can depend upon it in this way, and you can go to it whenever you need to, and you will hear me speak. And in fact, the more often that you go to it, the better it is. And that way is Scripture, in which 1 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. It is his breath. It is not only his words coming to us, but also his life. That's why it is so appropriate on Grad Sunday to give to our grads Bibles so that they have something that they can always go to and hear what God has to say. I want to say that with our Bibles, to all of us, let us continue to trust our Bibles as God's word to us. I know that it's old. I know that there are difficult sections in it. But I myself, Pastor Chris, still am surprised again and again by the Bible's clarity, its practicality, its relevance, how again and again it speaks to my situation where I am now, how it cuts through so much of the pretenses of the world and reveals the truth. It really is light. And regardless of the way in which our personality hears God, whether we hear him audibly, whether it is through things that we do, whether it is through other people. Again, Eric Potker made a nice summary of my whole sermon in his little introduction there. Or through a donkey, anybody in that category. Whatever it is, we can all go to our Bibles and hear God speak to us. He is good that way, and we should trust him. Though there are many ways that God speaks to us, this sermon would be incomplete if I did not finish with a call to seek after God. That God will speak to us in many different ways does not in the least diminish the need for us to go hear what he has to say, and to listen carefully to what God has to say. Having the name the Bible as God's promised word to us, there it says this, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Precious promises. That's easy to understand. That's easy to understand. These verses follow Jeremiah 29:11, which topverses.com says is the fourth most famous verse in the Old Testament. Can anybody quote it? For I know the ways I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. So there are plans that God has for you and for me and for all of us. And then immediately follows on these verses here. Call upon me, hearken to me, pray to me, come to me, because if you do with all your heart, you will find me. That plan that God has for us is not just about where we should live, what job to take, how rich a person to marry, what school to go to. There is more to that will. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, and then colon, and it's now going to tell us what God's will is for us. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Perhaps we're disappointed about that. We wanted something a little more spectacular. But that is God's will for us, that he wants us to become good through and through, not just to follow rules against our nature, but that our nature itself become holy like God. And that is God's will for us. Though maybe you wanted to know whether you needed to go to Africa or not, there is something encouraging about this 1 Thessalonians 4:3. And that is that if you happen to have chosen the wrong education, the wrong job, the wrong house, the wrong RRSP investment, these are long-term problems that take a long term to time to reverse. They hang over one's head. And then we had that list that Dallas gave us, the kinds of people who come to rock solid, addiction and drugs and trouble with the law, and on it goes. And these are decisions that a young man makes, and you just can't go back and reverse it. Those are problems that could very well stay with the person the rest of their life. But your sanctification, you can do today. You can practice love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can do it today with these people in this place. God's will, you never wreck on it so that it is far away. Rather, it is what we can do right now. And we can do it because Galatians 5:23 says, against such things there is no law. No law against it. You can do it. And I find that an encouraging thing. No matter how many silly things we might have done in the past, how many decisions that continue to hang over our heads, the will of God is available to us right now. They are the kingdom of God. They are his righteousness. And as Jesus tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That is my challenge to our grads, to young people, old people, middle-aged people, all of us, that we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and we will find that all things are added after that. Lord Jesus, how we love you. And I pray that you would make our hearts soft, that we could hear what you are telling us. And Lord, may we not be discouraged by past mistakes, but recognize that this day we can do your will and come into your presence, hear your word, in order that we might be your faithful and good servants. Lord, may we come away from here encouraged and challenged by what you have for us. And may we seek you and call upon you with all our hearts. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
And you are dismissed.